This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Hello, welcome to Noisebox. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Noisebox can be found at noisebox.com. Box is spelled with two X's. Noisebox is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, go to deliberatenoise.com. If you want to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. All right, there's this new podcast that I'm listening to. It's called Startup, and it's pretty much the behind-the-scenes story of a guy who's starting his own podcast network. Now let me see how I'm gonna describe it. The type of podcast that he wants to do are what he calls long form journalism. Okay. Now, just to give you a sense of what I mean by long-form journalism, he's talking about 20 to half an hour long episodes where they look in-depth at a story, I'm assuming. He just said that he just said how long he wanted it to be. And I'm assuming that the format of this podcast is how he wants the other podcasts to go. And he's talking about starting off with two or three podcasts done by different teams. And then he's going to expand from there. Now, this guy, his name, I want to say Andrew Grossman, I think. He was a producer on This American Life and Planet Money. So I think they're right there, just from saying those two. If you've heard his previous work, and you listen to Startup, you get a pretty good idea of the type of podcast that he's looking to do. And he, it's a good idea for him, I guess. That sounded really, passive aggressive, but it's not. It's not necessarily something I would want to listen to, but there's a huge, relatively speaking, market for it. I'm going to say there's a huge market for it, because we're talking about podcasting. We're not talking about overall media. And those type of shows do pretty well. When I say those type of shows, I mean those NPR sounding shows. Because that's really his, that's really the format he's going for. That's the type of audience he's going for. He's not going to be, even though he and I are both podcasters, he will not be competing with me. Simply because, for the most part, the people who listen to my shows don't want to hear NPR type shows, and those are the type that he does. I seriously doubt that somebody who listens to comic book noise, anybody who listens to any of my shows, they don't listen to my shows to be educated, as much as it hates for me, as much as I hate to say that, I'm not really imparting a whole lot of wisdom on these podcasts. What I'm doing is I'm giving my opinions. You know, he is looking to do news shows. I do opinion shows. He wants to do the heavy lifting of finding, you know, truth, I guess, and stuff like that. And I really don't care about the truth. You know, we all have truths. Yeah, so anyway, I don't have a problem with the podcast itself. I don't have a problem with his concept or his format because, you know, I'm one of those people. I think that everybody who wants to do a podcast should do one. And he is at least starting off with a different mindset than a lot of other podcasters, myself included, who, when we first heard of podcasting or first heard podcasting, our first impulse was, hey, that's cool. It seems like something I would want to do. It seems like fun, you know. And then there are people who think, hey, that's cool. I wonder how much money I can make off of it. And he does not seem like that. He wants to make that his career. He wants to make podcasting his career, which I can understand. There are a lot of people out there who want to make podcasting their career. But he's actually taking the steps to do it the right way without really having to rely on somebody else. And I wholeheartedly back that up. You know, I really don't. I've said this before on the show. I've said it to people. I really don't like having to rely on other people for stuff, regardless of the shameless begging that I had to do yesterday. I really don't like it. I don't like it. But I know that it's necessary. I'm on my way to work right now, where in exchange for services, they give me money. They know. If I could get the things, if I could get the money without having to uproot myself every morning and go to a different location, I would, you know. I would, because I would not be relying on somebody else. That I would love to do. I don't know if I would want, I don't know if I, if it was, if podcasting was a job, it would be a lot more structured and organized for me. But anyway, now I'm getting off topic, right? So that's the type of show that he wants to do, and he wants to do a bunch of them. But he wants to do it on a bigger scale than I would think to do, right? Because my shows are opinion shows, I have to come at them much different than a news organization, you know. He's talking about having, you know, several teams working on the different podcasts and with travel budgets and definitely like big studio time and all that kind of stuff. Where me, my travel budget is how much gas will it take me to get to work to get the money and back so that I can buy stuff online to read or watch, you know. I mean, totally different, totally different. So when he says he needs millions of dollars, you know, I can see that, you know, the potential is there to make millions of dollars. And they were talking all kind of really interesting stuff that about, you know, about business stuff that I was sort of aware of. You have to have an exit strategy. Now, I have an exit strategy in my life, but it's like, how quickly can I get out of a building if some fool decides they want to shoot the place up? That's my exit strategy. But theirs is different, where they're talking about who they can sell the company to in order to pay back the initial investors. You know, and that right there, that mindset explains why there's so much consolidation in business. Period, right there. Because if you go into a project thinking, okay, how can I, you know, who can I sell this to eventually? Then it's not really your project. You know, I don't know. They're, as somebody who wishes that they could have their own business, it just seems, I don't know, just wrong somehow to be thinking, all right, how can I get rid of this business? Well, like I said, that's just me. But once again, I'm getting off topic. My whole thing, and one thing that really bums me out about this show, is the perception that he and the money people that he's talking to, because they have like, they're showing a lot of, he's presenting a lot of, conversations, you know, and some people think that a lot of the nuts and bolts of the business part is interesting, you know, where they think podcast is heading is interesting, the public perception of podcasting is interesting, and I think a lot of stuff is interesting, but to me, the most interesting is how he, as a member of mainstream media, let's face it, he came from NPR, and despite their folksy demeanor, they're mainstream, you know. You could tell that when he and his partner said the word fuck for the very first time, that they thought that they were getting away with something interesting. Like, oh yeah, we're edgy now. You see, this is a podcast because we can say fuck. I think it's funny because most of the podcasters I know, not only have we been saying it for so long, but now it's to the point where it's like, eh, let me think of other words besides fuck. But I'm not saying that we don't swear, but it's just the novelty has worn off, you know. Anyway, but the perception that they have of other podcasters is what really bothers me about the show. They seem to have this, you know, it's probably this liberal elitism that I keep hearing about, and this may be it in action, but I'm trying to remember the exact words, but one of the guys that he was talking to, it wasn't him, although he has, you can tell from the tone of his voice, he has a low opinion of the podcasters that have come before him, the podcasters who've been around for 9 and 10 years. But one of the money men he was talking to was building him up, right? And basically saying, yeah, you know, you have this idea, you know, you have these, basically he was saying, you have this pedigree, you have this history. You're not just some jack off in your basement. That pissed me off. It's like, really? Really? So you're just gonna shit on the people who came ahead of you, you know? And quite frankly, I tell you, if all of us jack-offs in our basement, or as we like to be called, you know, indie podcasters, or just podcasters. If all of us put the bad mouth on a podcast, it doesn't matter whose it is, it doesn't matter what kind of audience they come in with, they're not going to really be able to expand and still call themselves a podcast. I'm sorry, this is... If you cannot be by yourself in the podcast world. You can't. If you are, then you're not really a podcaster to me. Then you're just repurposing your radio show. Okay? And a lot of people don't... See, I know I'm going to get in trouble for all this shit I'm saying. But it goes like this, right? There's a reason why people don't want to listen to the radio, and a lot of it has to do with the commercials. But you know what, a lot of people don't have a problem with commercials on podcasts. I want to point that out. Some people do, but a lot don't. We just don't care. It's like, okay, it's a necessary evil, all right? it's not the fact that you have to listen to something right then and there, okay? That is irritating, but for example, I know that there's this Beatle brunch that comes on every Sunday morning when I'm taking my daughter to church. I know that. I'm in the car, so that's something that I go out of my way to listen to. She's a big Beatles fan, so I'm a Beatles fan, but she's a huge Beatles fan. So we will listen to that, you know. Is it appointment radio? Not exactly, but it is something that since we're there, even if we're in another, a different car, we will turn the station to listen to it, you know. So a lack of time shifting doesn't matter, especially when most of the time radio is just playing music or playing short audio radio news stories, you know. So okay, big deal. It's not even the overly obnoxious DJs, which a lot of times these guys all sound alike, you know, and that sameness grates on your nerves after a while. But guess what? If you don't like, let's just say voice, call the DJs voice actors. If you don't like the way voice actor A sounds, you turn the station and boom, voice actor B, who sounds pretty much the same, but just slightly different, you know. It's not even that, but you get all of them together, okay? And then that's when you have the problem. That's why a lot of people are turning from radio. It's not just the fact that you have to listen to it at a certain time. It's not just the fact that all these guys sound the same. It's not just the fact that there's a bunch of commercials, but you put them all together, nobody wants to hear that stuff, okay? So if you're gonna put out a podcast that comes out same time every week, and you have commercials, and you have people that sound like other things you could listen to elsewhere, what's the big draw? And I think that a lot of the money men who are fluffing him up, they're forgetting that one thing, that the people that he's actually targeting can listen to NPR podcasts. You know, the people who he's targeting can listen, they are probably the people who listen to NPR, you know. So it's like, okay. So I don't know, it doesn't matter to me whether he succeeds or fails, because quite frankly, like I said, we have two totally different audiences. And quite frank, and the only thing negative that I can see coming out of it, if he does not fail, or if he does get the company off the ground and it fails, is that you'll get more newspaper articles talking about podcasting being dead. But who really gives a shit about newspapers? You know, who cares about most news outlets, you know? But that's just me. That's just what I'm thinking about. That's a lot of talk. That said, it's still a pretty good podcast. I listen to it. I like the podcast because it's familiar. It's something that I've heard before. I know. This particular subject, maybe not. But this particular presentation, definitely. And there's another one. It's called Serial. And I thought maybe Startup was his first podcast, and Serial was like the first product that they put out, you know, the second podcast, because it sounds like what he was describing. It is a long form news story, journalist taking a look at a murder case from a bunch of different angles, and it's really good, you know. And it's the format that they are currently using on Startup. So I thought it was the same. They even have the same sponsor, you know? So I'm like, okay, so this is it. But it's something totally different. Kinda. So yeah, the guy's gonna have problems. If he gets it off, that would be good. Because more people that he can bring into podcasting, the more that there is a possibility of benefiting my listenership in the long run, you know, as people come in and say, okay, well, this guy's show is over. Are there other podcasts I can listen to? And they can listen to some other ones and say, hey, you know what? I used to read comic books when I was a kid. I don't hear any comic book podcasts. And they may end up with comic book noise. You never know. Who knows? So maybe it does benefit me somehow. But as for direct competition, nah. But then again, I guess, who cares? He doesn't care about what I think. He doesn't care. I've noticed he's talked to money people, and he's talked to his friends, and he's talked to the other people at NPR, but he hasn't really talked to podcasters. That I did notice, you know, unless he considers Ira Glass a podcaster. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode.